Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Live from Orlando, Florida, you're listening to the Orlando Magic HQ podcast, the voice of Magic fans. Join us every week for a unique fan perspective on all of the latest Magic news and updates. The show starts now.
What's up, Magic fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Orlando Magic HQ podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. We're your host, Al, myself, Anthony. Today is Friday, December 15th. And in today's episode, if you haven't already noticed, there's been pictures all over online. Amway Center is officially done. It has been taken down. It's been reported that the Orlando Magic will have a new naming rights for their home, their arena, that we should be hearing soon. And we're going to talk in details about some of the names that, you know, the fan base creatively have came out with. You got Markelle Fultz and Wendell Carter Jr. that may be returning soon. And then, obviously, our up-and-coming clash with our favorite villains, the Boston Celtics. But before we get into those topics, just a quick word from our sponsors. Bet Online. All the major sports are in action this week with the college football playoffs ready to kick off. Bet Online is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info, including news for pro football, the NBA, upcoming fights, and NHL games this season. Head to the website today to get into the action and see all the updated odds for the week. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. A lot of Magic content to really talk about, a lot of Magic news that's out there that we're going to touch base on, but obviously before we really deep dive into it, we have some new content that's coming out and we're really excited to announce. Let's talk about our IG subscriptions.
Yeah, man, if you guys have not heard about this, and I'm sure many of you have already, if you follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, you've seen that we've launched our new HQ subscription service through Instagram. All that means is we decided to basically take away our Patreon offer. We say, you know what? Patreon is a different website. It's a different thing that we're doing. It's making it more complicated. Why not make it simpler for our audience? So basically we said, let's go ahead and use Instagram, which is our main base. That's where we post all of our updates. We're always constantly updating news, game results. Everything goes into our Instagram. So we said, hey, let's go ahead and use that as our hub going forward. So if you want to get to know us, you want to get more Magic content, that is the way you want to do it. So it's $5 a month, and it gets you guys a members-only group chat. It gets you also 20% off select Magic home games. So if you're thinking of coming to Amway, actually not Amway anymore, the new arena, coming up here in December or in January. Let us know. We'll get you guys the discount code, the link to the tickets. You also have access to our monthly Q&A with myself, Steven, Anthony. So again, we look forward to seeing you guys there. And more stuff such as exclusive posts, stories, reels. So a lot of great stuff. If you're a Magic fan, you like what we do, you want to support us, that is a way of doing it. Just keep in mind that everything that we do goes right back to you guys. All this money that we're collecting is going to go right back to you guys in the form of giveaways. And speaking of giveaways, our first one is actually live now. If you join our HQ subscription benefits this particular month, you will qualify to win an Orlando Magic City Edition jacket. And Anthony, do you have that pulled up there on your phone so we can show people on YouTube what that looks like?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, this jacket is absolutely fire. It is ridiculous. I might have to get it myself for me. But jacket is awesome. There's been a lot of people that have hit us up in the DMs as well, messages about our HQ hats. We're giving out three of those.
Yep.
During our giveaway. So it's a good way to be able to support the podcast, support the HQ. Again, this is what allows us to be able to continue doing what we're doing, as well as being able to bring more content and more giveaways in the future.
Yes, sir. So again, if you guys are interested in doing it, go to our Instagram, Orlando Magic HQ. There's a subscription button. Click on that. And again, it's only $5 a month to join. And again, join the conversation, get to know us. We look forward to seeing you guys there.
Yep. Also, Orlando Magic HQ, our writer, Luke, had an exclusive interview with Goga Batazzi that is up and available now. It's an awesome, awesome read where you really get to see and hear and learn of Goga's journey from before the NBA and then getting into the NBA and kind of how it sums up his journey getting to where he is now. So really, really great read. Make sure you check it out, OrlandoMagicHQ.com. All right, enough with the housekeeping. Can we talk about Magic basketball? So since we last spoke, we missed a lot of games, man. We never got a chance to talk about the 9-game winning streak that the Magic had, followed by an absolute collapse against the Brooklyn Nets. For whatever strange reason, we just don't match up well with Brooklyn. Brooklyn has our number. This is not just one game. It's now two games. It's a very small sample size, but we have been struggling with the Nets. Magic had an awesome opportunity to break their franchise record of winning 10 games in a row, and it just didn't happen. I'll be honest with you, Brooklyn is one team that I would like to stay as far away from as possible in the postseason because we just struggle against them. Followed by Cleveland, which was another tough loss, 121-111. So after the Magic going on a 9-game winning streak, well, we end up losing two in a row. This is a game where we saw Jalen Suggs ended up getting injured, and it was a pretty bad scare. It was a pretty bad scare. But however, Paolo Banchero, that was a game where he had a career night, scoring 42 points in that loss. Magic were able to bounce back and win the next game against Detroit. We end up beating Cleveland 104-94. There's a moment where we get another scare. Paolo Banchero ends up going down. And it looked initially a lot worse than what it was. He ended up returning back into the game. There was a moment that we even saw Jalen Suggs say a prayer for his teammate. And that must have been the world's strongest prayer because that boy came back and is still, you know, healthy to continue. It wasn't anything too bad. We know for a fact that, you know, if Jalen Suggs goes down, right, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay to where we're going to be able to compete. If Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner goes down, I'm a little more concerned, if I'm being 100% honest. So glad to see Paolo back. Glad to see that Jalen's okay. And we have some really upcoming games. But how grateful are you to see that we got players that they don't just go down. They find a way to come back and they want to come back and they want to compete at this level.
Dude, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Cleveland, but like it brought back memories. If you guys remember a couple of years back when Markel first suffered his ACL injury, it was against Cleveland. And then last week's game, it was Jalen Suggs going down, ankle injury, looked bad. Thankfully, he's back healthy right away. And then this game, we saw Joe Ingles in the first half actually go down. That looked bad. Thankfully, he was able to come back in the game. followed by Paolo, same thing. And to your point, that Paolo one looked really bad. Like, where I was sitting in my chair, in my seats at the arena, you could hear him screaming when he went down. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, my first reaction was ACL, something really, really bad, because you don't hear players usually scream like that when they go down. But thankfully, man, again, that prayer by Jalen Suggs, whatever it was, it worked, because Paolo came back to close out the game. We ended up getting the win. But I got to ask you, man, how does it feel to not only go to that 9-game winning streak? That was amazing. We go down twice, Brooklyn, Cleveland, but then we actually bounce back. And I mean, I don't know about you, but it doesn't feel like there's any game that we go into that I don't think we're going to win. How does it feel to kind of have that feeling again? Because it's been a while for us that we've gone into a season, a game, thinking we're going to win tonight, every single night. How's that feeling for you?
Yeah, I don't know if we spoke about it in other episodes, but I think that, you know, Kevin Garnett probably summed it up the best, where he says, you know, when you're playing against the Magic, you can't go out and have a cigar, can't have a good time. You got to come to these games prepared. And I think that for me, the initiative has always been that, right? For a long time, we've lost respect, you know, in regards to the rest of the league. Nobody respected us. Nobody took us serious. Everyone knew that, you know, you can rest one of your best players. This is a break, because you can rest your best players, you still get a win, and then you go about your day. And now that's not the case. People have to game plan against us. They know that, you know, it's not just Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero, we know, is the name, right? But Franz Wagner, that's again, is Batman and Batman. You got to worry about two of them. But, oh, wait, there's more. You have to worry about Cole Anthony off the bench. But wait, now you have Jalen Suggs. Hey, he's a defensive monster, so you have to game plan about that. And then you still have Jonathan. There's so many different factors that, you know, it's not – we don't win every game the same. Right, every game is somebody else that's really stepping up and can really put a lot of hurt on or put a lot of pressure on the team's defense, put a lot of pressure on the team's offense. So it's fun to watch, because there's no point in time, especially in the first half, outside of those games against Brooklyn, maybe Cleveland had me a little more concerned as well, but besides those games, if the Magic are down, I'm not worried because I have a lot of faith in our second unit. I'm not worried because I have a lot of faith in our defense. And I'm not worried because we are learning finally to respond to these runs. And that's been the biggest thing that was probably frustrating for me last season, is that we would play well, they go on runs, and then that's it. Game's over. So the team is maturing. We're learning from our mistakes. We're playing our brand of basketball. It's not perfect. We're not playing perfect basketball. We're making our mistakes. We still have young guys that make our mistakes, but teams are respecting us. The national media is respecting us. Maybe the things they're saying aren't 100% accurate, but cut them some slack. They've been out the game for a minute, right? They pay no attention to us at all. Now they're starting to. Now they have to, right? So I think from that perspective, it's what gives me that good feeling inside, knowing that respect factor has grew tremendously. Wendell Carter Jr. was on the pod squad recently, and they were talking about free agency and kind of where, like, there's hype around Orlando, where people outside of the Orlando Magic organization have told Wendell Carter Jr. that they wouldn't mind playing for the Orlando Magic, right? There's a lot of great things happening here. There's a lot of awesome things happening here. Doc Rivers was talking about his when he was coaching the Magic days, and he was trying to recruit Grant Hill, you know, some of the ways that he was trying to recruit Grant Hill while Grant Hill was playing for, you know, the Pistons was, you know, 80 degrees, no state taxes, right? There's so much, the Orlando Magic have so much going for them that literally the missing key was winning basketball games. The missing key was having talent. The missing key was a direction. I know that the Magic front office, they don't like this word, but this is what it is. The Magic now have a culture, and the culture is fighting on the defensive end, playing together, and we're seeing that come alive more and more every single day. And, you know, it's for the first time in a very long time You know, it's something to be prideful for. Every single time, and I don't care how annoying it gets to my friends and family on social media, when the Magic end up posting that the video with our theme song, I'm blasting it, I'm reposting, I'm putting it on my story, I'm making sure that everyone knows that the Magic are winning, and we're winning often. And it's fun, man. It's a fun time to be a Magic fan. What about you?
I mean, it's just surreal to me to go from where we've been, right? Because again, we've been doing this podcast now 4 years. We had some good moments when we made the playoffs in 2019. That was fun. But that truly only lasted 1 year, like between that crazy Vooch run and Michael Carter Williams and all that. And then it kind of went downhill from there because of injuries. So we enjoyed it for what? 10 months, maybe 12 months. Then the pandemic happened and rebuild started. Prior to that, the Dwight years, right? Dwight, the Dwight rebuild, which never really happened. So it's been at least, what, 14, 15 years since we've been able to say, hey, man, the Magic are good. People are noticing. I mean, think about the fact that we have the third best defense in the NBA. We're the third seed in the East today. We have one of the best starting lineups in the NBA when healthy, right? Like, we know that when Markel and Wendell are there, we're one of the best starting lineups in this league. It's just crazy to me to think about how we've transitioned from, again, a rebuilding team to a really solid team in a matter of one offseason. And guess what? Nothing changed. We haven't spent our money yet. We haven't traded any picks yet. We haven't done anything. We just, our front office kept telling us, allow us to develop. Let's allow these young guys to become who they're going to become in this league. And now we're seeing it. I mean, I think back to when we drafted Jalen Suggs and how hyped we were. The videos are there, a six-man show, our video. And Raptors fans keep laughing at us for enjoying it so much. But guess what? It's paying dividends now. You know, we deposit into an account, we earn dividends, and now here we are. We're enjoying the benefits of it because Jalen Suggs, man, is that guy. He's truly becoming that culture setter. I kept saying it, that Marcus Smart for us. Like, this dude just drives the crowd, drives the team to play harder. Like who? Like Marcus Smart when he was in Boston. So if he can be that guy for us, hit the open threes and play that solid defense every single night, guess what? He's doing it so far. Game changer for us. So it's surreal to me. I have to sometimes pinch myself and say, man, like, this is really happening. Like, the Magic have really arrived. And guess what? Here we are. Paolo and Franz averaging 20. Again, the best bench in the NBA. One of the best defenses in the NBA. Oh, and by the way, our offense is one of the best. Actually, we're in the teens now. I think we're 15th best offense in the NBA. That is surreal. Since 2011, we have not been less than in the 20 range. So it's crazy what's happening right now.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about this topic a little bit later, but I want to bring it up now. So we're a quarter in of the season, right? And yeah, sure, we can talk about who the MVP is. We can kind of, you know, depending on your perspective, it could be Franz, it could be Paolo. But I personally feel like someone that deserves a lot of that credit is 100% Jalen Suggs. The way that people talk about Jalen Suggs this season was not how people were talking about Jalen Suggs last season.
Nope.
People were damn near disrespectful with the way that they were talking about Jalen Suggs last season. And honestly, there was moments where people had points. People had concerns, and I'm not knocking anyone on that, no matter how disrespectful these comments were. But this is what we talk about when it comes to development. We knew that part of Jalen Suggs' issue was injuries, health. He missed a lot of games last season. Last season, he only played 53 games. The season before, 48 games. Jalen Suggs, he's having a way better of a beginning of the quarter, the beginning of the season. He's playing awesome basketball defensively. We already knew what he was able to do defensively. His three-point percentage, his shooting, has drastically increased. First season, shot 21% from the three-point line. Second season, he shot 32%. Now he's shooting at a 37% clip. Like, this dude is playing high level basketball, and you love to see it because we knew that if Jalen can really support Franz and Paolo, especially on the defensive end, we knew that, you know, this could be a core that could be successful, like really, really successful. And the fact that it took him a little longer, people started excluding him from that core. So I love the fact that people are now recognizing him because he deserves it. He's worked on his game, and he's definitely a difference maker for us.
Yeah, I mean, you asked that question about the first quarter of the season MVP. There's no way that cannot be Jalen Suggs. But just to give you a different answer, just to kind of add some variety to our show, right? I'm going to give it to Cole Anthony, another guy that, in my opinion, again, we knew he was a scorer coming out of college. We knew he was a great player. And actually, I watched his draft at my house when we got him. And again, same thing. I was so excited about the fact that we drafted a scorer, finally, a guy that can just put the ball in the hoop. And guess what? Fast forward 3-4 years now, here's Cole Anthony showing us why we were so excited, because we saw that vision that, hey, this guy can be a guy you can give the ball to and say, hey, give me a bucket. He can go get it for us. Leading the bench in scoring, one of the best off the bench players in the NBA right now, will definitely be in contention for Sixth Man of the Year. I think that, to your point earlier, the Magic may go down 10. Our second unit comes in, and guess what? I feel more confident that we're going to cut into that deficit, because there's not many NBA benches right now that can compete with ours. So honestly, when we go down 6, 7, 8 points and the bench comes in, I feel confident. And a big part of that is Cole Anthony. So I'm torn between the two, but just to be different, I'll say Cole Anthony's my MVP for the first half or the first quarter of the season. But man, Jalen Suggs, in my opinion, has become a guy that you have to root for. Like, this dude is doing so many little things on the court, playing so hard. But I love the fact that he's embraced the fact that he wants the Amway crowd to be a part of their success. He's cheering them on to be louder, to enjoy the success that we're seeing right now. I love every single thing about it. I love it.
And it's one of the greatest decisions. Like, this is part of the reason why Coach Mose deserves some of the recognition as well. The fact that Cole Anthony is able to strive with that second unit is because we're not messing with his role. We're not adjusting it. He knows exactly every single night how many minutes he's going to play, when he's coming into the game, how he's going to impact the game. Cole Anthony has a green light to score the bucket. That's what he does. He's a walking bucket. When he comes in with the second unit, his job is to score within the offense, right? But it's also giving him the green light to be able to create his own shot. And he does an awesome, awesome job in doing that. A lot of it also have to do, I already know that when I hear, hopefully Steven doesn't listen to this episode, but a lot of it has to do with the balance of Joe Ingles and what he's been able to do. Joe Ingles, in his own way, he impacts the second unit. His playmaking ability, the way he stretches the floor. People respect Joe Ingles and knows what he does and what he brings to the table. So if Joe Ingles is in the game, Gary Harris is in the game, even Cole Anthony, because Cole Anthony, he's shooting about 36-37% from the 3-point line. Our second unit shoots the clip better, and people are respecting it. Mo Wagner, he's another player that can stretch the ball out and shoot. I'm not saying that we're an awesome 3-point shooting team. We know that there's some, you know, we could do better, right? But the Magic are doing well. I think the biggest concerns with a lot of people right now is, what does that look like when Markell and Wendell Carter Jr. comes back and is integrated back into this roster? What does that look like? We know that right now, a lot of the pressure or the playmaking or the offense, they're coming from our main guys. They're coming from our core. They're coming from Franz with Paolo, whatever the case may be. But when Markelle Fultz gets back, you know, how much of that will impact Paolo and Franz's game? How much of Goga Batazzi no longer being a starting lineup, where, you know, a lot of his defensive presence helps the rest of the players in our starting lineup, knowing that they have a player like Goga behind them that is an awesome rim protector. Wendell Carter plays great team defense. I'm not saying that he won't have somewhat similar impacts, but we know that there's a difference when it comes to rim protection. How does that look like? And great, we know that Wendell Carter, he's your starting center. He's going to get integrated right away in the starting lineup. But then what do you do with Goga? How many minutes does Goga play? Like, are we really going to see ourselves, you know, playing, you know, 13, 14, 15 players? Like, that's not realistic. So, you know, Coach Moles has a lot to make decisions on. But let's be honest, these are decisions that we want. The fact that we're even talking about, man, what are we going to do with our third string point guard and our third string center, goes to show you that this team really is deep. And for the first time in a long time, we're able to say, man, if one of our players were to go down, we at least have some level of a backup plan. When Paolo Banchero went down, I was scared. I really thought it was something serious. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so we need to bring Jonathan Isaac back as soon as possible, or we need to bring Wendell Carter back as soon as possible. Because although it won't be the same offensively, we still know that these are reliable players that we can plug and play. And we know that no player is going to be able to, you know, replace or recover what Paolo Banchero is able to do. But you at least have some type of plan B, plan C, plan in place in the event of these things happening. Because we know history has shown us that once our main guys go down, it's a wrap. Our season's over. Now we don't have to necessarily struggle about that. If something were to happen to Paolo or friends for a few weeks, man, if you saw what we did without our starting point guard and starting center, imagine what we're able to do. You know, worst case scenario, something else were to happen.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
And that's a scary part. It's a great problem to have. But to your point, like, what do you do now? I mean, we have Markel questionable to play tonight in Boston. So what does that mean? If he is healthy, do you start him right away? Is he coming off the bench? Like, what's going to happen? My assumption is he'll be starting right away. That is the one that I feel comfortable with, because not for nothing, I love what Anthony Black has done so far, but he's not really impacting the game that much when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. And Markel is a really good defender also, so I think there's a pretty good switch there. The big difference will be, to your point, Goga and Wendell kind of, that's a tough one, because Goga has really surprised me with his rebounding and his rim protection. To your point, Wendell's a great team defender. Not as much of a shot blocker, not as much of a, even a rebounder per se. So it's going to be tough. I think if anything, the one that may lose some minutes, if anything, might be Mo Wagner. Depending on matchup, some nights, you may have to see more minutes coming from Woga than from Mo Wagner, and vice versa, depending on what we need that night from the bench. But it's great to see that Goga has found a way to make himself a valuable key member of our team. I mean, he's been impressive. You talk about Jalen Suggs, you talk about Cole Anthony earlier, Paolo Franz. You cannot speak anything less about Goga Fatasa, man. This dude has come in. We didn't know what to expect of him last year. Mo Bamba got traded. We ended up getting him. We had no idea what we had in him. And guess what? Mo Bamba, who? I've said it before multiple times. We don't miss him. Like, this dude came in and is doing better things than Mo Bamba. Rim protection, we thought that's what Mo could give us. Goga's doing better. Scoring, rebounding, he's doing that too. So it's going to be tough. I don't want to be Coach Mosley, but I will say I have full faith in whatever he decides to do. It's for the better of the team. And it's what he thinks is the best thing for us going forward. Now, the crazy part is we won 9 in a row. We've won 2 here. We'll talk about it later. We have a crazy schedule coming up. But imagine how much better we can be if Markel is 100% now, if Wendell's 100% now. How much better can we be when we're now saying, hey guys, come on in, take your time, just be threats on the court. We don't need you guys to do anything crazy. Just be out there helping us out. We got you guys. That wasn't the case before. Markel had to be productive for us to be playing well. Wendell had to be a beast on the defensive end and rebounding the ball for us to be successful. It feels like now Jalen, Paolo and Franz kind of said, you know what? We got you guys. Take your time getting ready and integrating yourselves into what we're doing. But it's exciting, man. Again, I can't recall a Magic team this deep since the 10-09 Vince Carter, Dwight Howard days when like everyone could play minutes and be impactful. So it's great to see what we've done. And I mean, major shout out to our front office. We've had our moments where like, we doubt what they've done. We don't know what they're doing necessarily. It's paid off really, really nicely for us.
Yeah, and I think that Anthony Black was a good experiment in the starting lineup because in similar ways, if Markelle Fultz were to come back and he's struggling in the beginning, can't get his offense going, doesn't play a whole lot of minutes, whatever the case may be, it's exactly what we're getting with Anthony Black. Like exactly. Anthony Black, he's there's still some developmental time that we need from Anthony Black. Like I'm curious to see, especially with a lot of these bigger names that we've seen in this rookie class that's been migrated to G League. I wouldn't be surprised if they'd sent Anthony Black to the G League for a little bit. I wouldn't be mad at it. But it's a good reminder knowing that we've been successful without Markelle Fultz and without Anthony Black really impacting the game. So you integrate Markelle Fultz back and we don't need Markelle to drop 20 points. We don't need him to do anything crazy, right? Him coming back automatically makes our depth that much better, right? And the team has been playing great. So I think that you bring back Markelle Fultz whenever he's 115-20%. He did mention in some of his interviews recently where he is closer to returning than he is not. So we are expecting for him to come back soon. And his thought process is, when I come back, I want to make sure that I'm coming back for the long haul, that I'm not getting myself injured a week or two, down the line. He wants to make sure that when he comes back, he's not leaving the team anytime soon. So it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Mo's handles it. But as a coach who just won Coach of the Month, I think he's going to be all right. He's been doing a great job so far. No complaints on my end. And they just got to find a way to adjust and keep it rolling.
Yeah, it won't be easy like we talked about, but I think it's definitely something that I'm pretty sure he'll find a way to manage. And again, it's positives for us. It's like we just either signed a free agent or traded for Wendell Carter. Like, they only played 5 games this year, and yet we've played so well without them. Again, if you would have told me a year ago, hey, man, Markel's coming back from injury, we would have been thrilled. Like, oh, my God, we'll be such a much better team. Wendell, same thing. And now here we are like, how do we incorporate them? Like, that's a great problem to have. So I'm all here for it. And again, the schedule gets tough. So if we lose some of these games coming up, don't blame it on them. The schedule is tough. Keep that in mind. But eventually, I say about two weeks, a month from now, these dudes, if they stay healthy, are going to be crucial to us making a deep playoff run.
Yeah, let's not forget that we are a completely better team with Markelle and Wendell Carter Jr. If anything, if you mentally block out the fact that these two were on our team this season, and you see what we're doing right now, and then in the offseason, right, in the trade deadline, whatever, you add Wendell Carter and Markelle Fultz, you're thinking that, oh, it's a wrap. We're getting to the third round. You know what I mean? So it's going to be fun getting them back. They're a big part of the team. And we know that Markelle Fultz, he's a matchup problem. Wendell Carter, yeah, he might be undersized, but he does a lot of good. His pick and roll plays that he does, it's impactful, and we've seen the damage that a 1-2 punch from Wendell and Markelle Fultz have done. And you add that to what Paolo and Franz have already created, and it's beautiful basketball. We just need to get to that point where we're able to see them, back on the court. We're going to see Markelle Fultz back with us first, and then Wendell Carter would surely follow. But we're not too far along.
Yeah, man. Now, let me just a quick follow-up to that. So, again, we started the season really well. We've played tremendously without the two of them. What has this done to you as a fan? So, just keeping it real. So, now, we started the year saying, I think I predicted 42 wins, playing appearance. That was my expectations. I think yours was pretty similar. Now what? And I'm simply saying this because we're now 9 games over 500. So even if we play just 500 basketball the rest of the season, we're still going to be a top 6 team in the East at this rate. Is that a lock? Do you think that that is something that we should strive for? That is the bare minimum, the 6th seed in the East. And we have to win at least 2 to 3 games in the first round to be satisfied. Is that what has happened in your mind as well? Or are you still thinking, guess what, man? Like, I'm being real. We may lose some games playing. I'll be happy with that. What are your thoughts on that?
So these are my thoughts. I'm going to ask you a question, right? Give me 3 names in this upcoming draft in the 1 to 7 range. 3 names.
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you nobody in this, like, literally not one player. And it's really because for the first time, I don't care. Mm-hmm. None of those names matter nothing to me. I'm not, and I think that's the biggest takeaway that any Magic fan or anyone that has casually followed the Magic is that the Magic, we no longer care about the draft. And in order to get to the point where you no longer care about the draft, you can't be a play-in team. This is a playoff mentality, right? This is whatever you get in the draft, this upcoming draft is meant to aid and help in ways that you didn't expect. Perfect example would be something very similar to when we drafted Courtney Lee, right? So for me, that's the expectation. The expectation is playoffs and nothing less. I see a very realistic possibility that anything lower, in my opinion, now where we're at, if the Magic had to battle for a play-in, I would consider that a disappointment. And it's not a disappointment in terms of a bad thing, because that's still a successful season. That's a huge jump from last season. But because there's been so much hope, because the Magic have played so well, because the Magic are doing things that are groundbreaking, everyone's expectations have shifted. You know, Markelle Fultz, for the last couple of seasons, he's been talking about 4th seed. Well, now 4th seed is a real possibility. The Magic right now are 3rd in the East, behind Boston, behind Milwaukee. Now the Magic have an opportunity to go back-to-back with Boston. So now, and I'm sure that the Magic, they're hyped, they're ready to go, because this is an opportunity that the Magic have to really, really prove that they're real. Because you have Boston, then you have Miami, and then you have Milwaukee.
It's rough.
That is a rough 4 games for any basketball team. But what makes it beautiful is that these are the top dogs in the East. We have a better record than Miami, but Miami ain't no pushover. Milwaukee, last time we played them, wasn't with Dame Lillard. So what does that look like? Now you know that Boston, they're going to make sure that they have a good night's rest. They're going to make sure that there's no partying, there's no smoking cigars, there's no none of that, right? Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, they're going to be watching the game. Eddie House, hello, you're going to be watching the game, and they're going to really see what's up. But they're going to be prepared, because we already busted them one too many times for their life.
Yeah, man. So that's the thing with me too. Like, I'm thinking now, anything below 6 to me is disappointing at this point. But I'll be honest too. Like, again, hopefully injuries don't happen. But if something happens, I may be okay even with the 7th seed. That's the lowest I'll take. That means that we have home court advantage. That means that we have to lose 2 games in the play-in kind of chase at the end of the season. But ultimately, that should not be our goal. Our goal should now be top 6 in the East. It should be maintaining this win that we have racked up in the early season and build on that. I mean, having a 9-game cushion above 500 is huge. It's not even mid-December just yet. It's amazing what they've done early in the season. But to your point, the schedule gets rough between now and the end of January. And then it kind of eases up February, March, and April. So we got to survive this next 45 days. We got to play well, get as many wins as we can. Understanding, though, that if we lose some, it's okay, because things do get a lot easier closer to the All-Star break and then after that. So win as many as you can. But in my opinion, top six should be the goal for this team going forward.
And listen, the Magic, they could do better than that. Like I don't see why any of this can be sustained unless injuries do happen. A lot of things have fallen into our favor, but again, the Magic have shown that they can play great basketball against these great teams. So we'll wait to see. These next games are going to say a lot about the Magic, right? They're going to tell, like, let's say this next game against Boston. How do the Magic respond? How do they play well? How do they stop, you know, the Jason Tatums and the Jaylen Brown? So I think that it's going to be an awesome, awesome matchup. And I think that collectively, from a media standpoint, a lot of these big media heads are going to be watching to see if the Magic are for real. But in my opinion, I don't know how any of this got swept under the rug. Why wouldn't TNT or ESPN or any of these media, like, this is primetime TV. This is get your popcorn ready. Like, it's about to go down. Like, I to me, this is like, people should have done research on this. Like, there's some bad blood underneath it all. Like, there's a lot of motivation. I'm coming into it feeling like this is a playoff game. Yep. It feels that way because it's a fight for the top of the East. The Magic have a very, very good, great opportunity to be the number one team in the East. Can you imagine how much of a chaos and frenzy will happen if the Magic go 4-0? Boston, Miami, Milwaukee. People won't know how to act. I won't know how to act. I am going to be super reckless. So nobody talk to me about the NBA or basketball, because I am going to be reckless with my conversations.
Think about it this way. If we beat Boston back-to-back this weekend, which is going to be a tough task, but if we do find a way, we would be 18-7. They would be 18-7. So we'll be tied potentially for the top seed in the East if we can make that happen. So, and don't forget, they just played tonight against Cleveland. They won against Cleveland. So they are coming on a second half of back-to-back tonight against us. We are coming off 3 days off. If I'm mostly, man, I'm telling these guys, go out there and run. Push these guys. Play hard, because they played last night. Take advantage of that. And even on Sunday, it will be our second game in a week almost. That will be their third game in 4 nights. Same thing. Run. Play hard. Make them work for it. They're a great team. Don't get me wrong. But we have an advantage when it comes to rest this time around. And you never know. Maybe they sit down Porzingis tomorrow or something like that, or tonight. We'll see what happens. What I can say is, man, it's a huge weekend, to your point. It's like a mini playoffs, back-to-back games in Boston. We'll talk about it later when we wrap up the episode, but my ideal would be you got to find a way to, at the very least, win one game. Ideally, you sweep them. Ideally, you do, and you go back to Eddie House, and we keep posting the GIF on Twitter all day long. But the reality is, if you can at least win one in Boston, that would be massive for this team.
Who doesn't want to send the gif of Rafer Austin slapping Eddie House across the back of his head?
I'm like, right.
That's already part of my Magic watching experience when we play against the Celtics. If I can't do that, then it's not as fun. So that's got to happen. But we'll see what ends up happening. A lot of tough games coming up. Obviously, we feel confident in our team. The only thing that we can really ask for is that we stay healthy. And if we can hit some 3-point shots, then that's just, you know, cherry on top.
That's right.
So earlier in the episode, we did talk about how the Magic are changing. Excuse me, not the Magic, but the Amway Center is no longer the Amway Center. They've already brought down the name. And there's already some names floating around from the fan base that people are guesstimating. If you haven't seen, we are doing a giveaway for the person that guesses it right. But what are some of the names? What are you hoping for? Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a name, or you can share a name that you hope for the sponsorship. But what are you hoping for is the name of our home, our stadium?
So let me say what I don't want it to be first. So I just hope it's not some random technology company tied up to some Bitcoin cryptocurrency stuff. Like, let's not do that.
Stay away from the Bitcoin.
Stay away from that. That's number one. Number two, I just hope it has some meaning to us locally in Orlando. Like, I would love for it to be, I don't know, Publix. I would love for it to be something to do with Disney. And I've said it before, man. Like, if they don't find a way to name either the arena or the new entertainment center that they're building and should be ready by 2025, and named something along the lines of the Magic Kingdom, they're failing. Because again, you've been preaching this whole protect the kingdom thing. You're already married to Disney. We know that. We as a city are married to Disney. We have to be in Orlando. Just build on it. Do it. Find a way to make it even more official. But yeah, like I would love Publix. I would love Disney. I don't know outside of that what else I would like, man. What about you? Anything comes to mind to you that you would like and be okay with?
Yeah, so some of the names that people have been getting extremely creative with the names. We've seen the Olive Garden Center. We've seen the PetSmart Center. We've seen Fairwinds. We've seen Costco. We've seen Chick-fil-A. Evan Health is one that we've seen multiple times. Someone was creative enough to call it the Darden Garden, like Darden Restaurants. Thought that was clever. That was a good one. We've seen, the Magic Kingdom Arena. I don't believe that would happen, but that's another one. Publix, obviously, we've seen that one. Sunrail, Brightline, Morgan & Morgan was cool. Shout out to them. They were cool enough to respond saying that that's their vote as well. So a lot of different options. Someone was pretty confident that, it would be Verizon. We have Papa John's Center. I don't know, man. I think that it would make a lot of sense for a sponsorship that the Magic already have to just kind of expand on that relationship. So maybe like a Kia or Verizon. I don't know if Verizon was one of the ones that we've had before, but I just started noticing that they've been popping up on a lot of the highlights that the Orlando Magic have been posting. I don't know if maybe I just didn't notice it now that I do because I saw that comment. I don't know. But that could be an option. I just really hope that it's something that sounds good and it's respectable, right? We don't want Spirit's airline because who has a good experience with Spirit's airlines, so hopefully it's something that people like, because let's be honest, right? Everyone likes the Amway Center. Nobody has an issue with it. Everyone likes the name. It's very nostalgic, right? But if Amway Center wasn't the name before and we had, the TD Waterhouse Center, I'm sure that when we transitioned from the TD Waterhouse to Amway, people were like, Amway? Okay. That nobody's excited about the Amway, right? So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's a name that people like. It's always weird, right, when they do a name change, like go and say they change from the Oracle to what's the name of it now?
Chase Center.
Right. Same with Staples. They went from the Staples to their cryptocurrency name that they have. So a lot of these names, they are iconic, but all great things must come to an end. And what a perfect time to change the name with this new era of Orlando Magic basketball.
That's honestly what I'm most excited for, is the fact that we're making these changes with the team kind of growing. Again, we have the entertainment centers coming in a couple of years. So it's like there's all this hype coming up. We have money this offseason. So it's kind of all lining up nicely. Wouldn't be surprised if an all-star game bid is submitted and Orlando wins it here in the next few years too. So it's kind of all happening all at once. But to your point, make it respectable. I wouldn't mind any of those names you mentioned, the Verizons, those top-tier companies. Like, I wouldn't mind any of those because, again, they're respectable companies. Whatever, we'll get used to it. But the cool thing is that, hey, man, we don't have to wait very long. Our next home game is against the Heat. And guess what? By then, the new name should be up. So It's going to be exciting to see what that looks like on our first home game at the new arena, whatever the name might be.
Yeah, there was so many. Some of the other names that we have here. Somebody said Icy Hot. That was interesting. Icy Hot, Rooms to Go, Universal. I personally feel in some good old-fashioned, Orlando Magic, the way that they operate, it's going to be a name that we haven't thought of. It's going to be something like super left field that we didn't even know. So that would be my guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of money, being made these days in technology. Again, the whole crypto thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if some random company we never heard of, that's some random technology company. That's probably what's going to happen. But I'm hoping that's not the case. I hope they learn from the Miami Heat experience that didn't end up very well. So let's see. I just hope they play it right. And again, to your point, that it's kind of something that it's respectable. And as we continue to win and become a better team, when they announce us on ESPN, hey, we're coming to you live from X Arena, it's something that's impactful. It sounds nice. It adds meaning to what we're building in Orlando. So let's see.
Yeah, for nostalgic purposes, just bring in the arena. It was beautiful. Sponsorship messes everything up.
That's a thing. There's no money there.
Nah, so somebody needs to come up with something.
We'll see. We don't have to wait very long. Another few days here before we find out. So that's exciting.
Yep. So we'll see what ends up happening. We should hear something again by next week. We got Boston, Miami, Milwaukee. What are your final predictions?
Whew. Tough schedule, man. Give me 500. If we can win two of those games, I'll be thrilled. If we can win three, I'll be the one that'll be reckless on Twitter talking a bunch of trash to people. But in reality, you win two of those, and I'll be very impressed. Because again, it's a tough schedule, man. And again, we didn't play Dame the first time. The Celtics lost Porzingis that game when we played them. So we caught some breaks, let's be honest, in those games. Hopefully this time around, we can beat, hopefully the Heat. Always good to beat them at home. Yep. And I wouldn't mind, again, the Celtics, at least one of them in Boston. But anything better than that would be icing on the cake. How about you?
Yeah, listen, I just want to keep kicking Boston down as much as we can. If we go 50%, give me the 2 wins against Boston. Give me that. Boston, we know they're going to be a team that's going to be in the top of the East. Milwaukee also. I like our chances with Milwaukee. They're obviously going to come back swinging because of retaliation for being there without Dame. But if we can get Boston, that would make me feel nice, warm, and fuzzy inside. So give me 50% both games against Boston. I'll be a happy camper.
You know what I just thought about Giannis last night? You guys all probably seen this already, the whole thing that happened in Indiana, the game ball. He went to the locker room. That is not allowed in the NBA. So my thinking is, do they suspend Giannis 3, 4, 5 games because of his actions? He may miss that game against the Magic. We may catch a break there.
It was also in Milwaukee. I'm sure they're a little more lenient that it's his house.
True. But I'm just saying, maybe we catch a break there. Maybe. Not very likely.
He was a little hostile. So, but shout out to the Indiana Pacers for not complying. Like, shout out to Miles. Shout out to Buddy Hield. Good for them. And I think they gave him like a random basketball that he says he doesn't believe it was the right one. But I mean, listen, we're talking about it right now. We got a few minutes left. What do you think? Who do you feel like it's in the right? Who do you feel like it's in the wrong?
It's tough, man, because the rookie
only scored 1 point.
But this is the thing. He actually scored a point on Saturday night against the Lakers on that final for the instant tournament. So
it
technically
count.
That's the thing, but that was technically his first
count.
Point in the NBA.
It doesn't count.
There's a lot of pettiness going on. Indiana, Milwaukee, they had some stuff going on, but I don't know, man. I respect Indiana for sticking to their grounds. That's our ball. That's for our rookie. We're keeping it. I respect them for that. But I also can understand Giannis, man, that if I score 60 points, heck, if I score 40 points in the NBA, and that's like a record for me, I won that ball. So I get it from both sides. But Giannis didn't have to act the way he did. I'll tell you that much. Like, that was kind of reckless.
Yeah, because here's the thing. And I think Mark Cuban was the one that kind of said it. It's like if he really wanted it for the scoring, he could have kept the box score, had all his teammates sign it, and it would have been a little more meaningful. Why does he want to keep the basketball? You know?
It's something to do with the tradition with his mom, like anything like record breaking that he does, he gives to his mom and he writes like a nice little thing on it.
But yeah. here's the thing. Once that basketball is taken all the way over to the locker room, that in my mind, that's it. That ball is gone. There's nothing that anyone can possibly tell this man that would allow for anyone to trust that what they're saying is accurate. They could have gave him the right basketball. You know, is he really going to believe it? That ball's already entered like out of your perspective view. So that he definitely took it overboard. Even Damian Lillard was looking at him like, dude, relax, it's not that serious. But that was definitely out of character for
yeah. Giannis. You know who's to blame though? 100%. The head of security for the Milwaukee Bucks, he actually had the ball when the final buzzer sounded. He went to the ref, he got the ball, and then not sure what happened. Like, from there, I know who he gave it to. Something happened, but technically, it's all his fault because he had the ball, the original ball. You could see it. He had it. I just don't know what happened between then and Giannis getting interviewed and going back to the locker room. Something happened there where the ball got kind of misplaced. But I'm like, you had it. Run. Go to the locker room. Save it for him. You're done. That's your night. So if anyone's to blame, it's that guy.
Yeah. If he would have dropped 70, then I feel like he would have had more of an argument. 64, he'll do it again. Just wait until you play against the Pistons.
Whoa.
All right, on that note, it is a wrap. I appreciate you guys for listening. This episode was presented by Bet Online. We'll catch you guys next week.
For all the latest Magic news and updates, visit OrlandoMagicHQ.com and follow us on Instagram at OrlandoMagicHQ and on Twitter at OMagicHQ. Also, remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite listening platform.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.